Before you're seated, may I please invite you, this may be the last Sunday we see each other, so go around and wish each other a Happy New Year, if you don't mind. Yeah. And if somebody's alone, and I see Jordan upstairs is alone, maybe someone can reach out to him. Happy New Year to the praise and worship team, you may. Yeah. Thank you. All right, we would first like to welcome any newcomers. All you have to do is just raise your hand where you're seated. Do we have any newcomers in our church? Yes, we have one sister there. We welcome you. Any newcomers upstairs? Nope? Okay, great. Please fill in the card for us and we'd love to get in touch with you. All right. Cameron seems very happy. Okay, so before we go into the sermon, let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for this time. And we pray, O Lord, that as I speak today and bring forth your word, may you use me as your instrument to speak to your people. And as we look into 2026, my prayer for all of us is that all of us grow in prayer. Father, be with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, this is the last Sunday, obviously, of 2025 and the last sermon. Congratulations, we made it. And I'm not supposed to be preaching today, by the way. It was Deacon Bruce, so I'm backing up for Deacon Bruce because, as we know, he's recovering, he was hospitalized. So please continue to keep him in your prayers. And those who know me actually understand that I need at least 3 weeks to prepare a sermon. And I had 1 week. So what do? I immediately turned to God and I said a very simple and humble prayer. I said, Lord, please help me. And that was it. And as I prayed, I kind of realized that prayer is something we have not been talking about enough. And especially how we can grow in our prayer life. So today, as we close 2025, I want us to think together about growing in our prayer life. Because the stronger your prayer life, the steadier you stand when storms hit you. The stronger your prayer life, the steadier you are when your storms hit you. But before we talk about growing in prayer, we need to be clear about what we mean by growing and what we mean by prayer. Now, usually when people think about this word growth, they think about improvement. You know, when we improve, we grow. So in that sense, personal growth is about mastering techniques or skills. As Nike says, striving for greatness. And when I Googled it, it says that personal growth is the continuous process of improving yourself by developing new skills, positive habits, self-awareness, and wisdom to become a better version of yourself. Personal growth takes time and effort and mastery. But little do people realize that when we talk about spiritual growth, we are not talking about becoming impressive or advanced or elite. Spiritual growth is not about mastering techniques or skills. Spiritual growth is about increasing our dependence on God. This is the first important point to note. Spiritual growth is not about mastering techniques or skills. It is about increasing our dependence on God. John chapter 15, verse 4 to 5, Jesus says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me, in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus defines spiritual growth as abiding, not striving. Our spiritual growth comes when we depend on Jesus, not by our effort or our skills. Now that we know what spiritual growth means, let me also quickly define prayer. What is prayer? You know, when we think about this word prayer, what does it mean from a Christian perspective? For a lot of people, prayer means request. And it is normal to think about prayer as a request because in many backgrounds and religions, that's what it is. I was born in a Hindu family. Since we were little children, my mom will ask us, anything you want, request and pray to the gods. And if they are willing, they will grant your request. And my wife was born in a Buddhist family. And when I asked her, she told me the same. When Bobo was young, her parents told her, pray to God and request for blessings and health and wisdom and wealth. So it is normal for people to think about prayer as request. But what happens when we think about prayer as just request? Our prayers become transactional. We start to treat God like a service provider. We go to God when we need something and when we want something, but when we don't get the answers we want, we feel disappointed. But from a Christian perspective, prayer is a lot more. From a Christian perspective, prayer is so much more than bringing our needs to God. Prayer is about bringing ourselves to God. Prayer is a God-given privilege. God gives Christians personal access to Himself through prayer. Personal access to an Almighty God to be in a relationship with Him. Isn't that amazing? The Creator of this universe, the God who created skies and earth and planets and oceans, has given you and me, the Christian believer, a means to be in a relationship with Him. The God who has made us has given us a way to know Him personally. I hope when we understand prayer in this way, it changes how we pray. Now, if you don't know, the best book in the Bible to turn to prayer and to learn about prayer is the book of Psalms. There is so much in the book of Psalms if you want to learn how to pray, because it talks about all kinds of human situations and human condition, and it talks about how you can pray on your situation. And from the many amazing themes in Psalms, I want to start today by something I hope you find helpful. If you have a physical Bible, please turn to Psalm 25. If you have your phones, better don't use it. You're going to get some notifications on Instagram, TikTok, or whatnot. Yeah? You can follow the screen if you don't have a physical Bible. But if you have a physical Bible, please turn to Psalm 25. And I want to read to you verse 14 in a translation I believe is the right one, which is ESV. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant." The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. Now, the Hebrew word used to describe this word friendship is called sowed. And this word sowed means intimate counsel and advice. So the friendship of the Lord here is the intimate counsel and advice, the kind of advice that an intimate friend gives to another intimate friend. Now, if you are using NIV or other translations, it uses the word the secrets of the Lord, because it is to your most intimate friend you share your secrets. So what Psalm 25:14 is saying is that it is possible for humans to have a relationship with the Almighty God, a relationship that is an intimate friendship. And how does this intimate friendship work? It works through prayer. Prayer is what makes an intimate relationship between us and God possible. So the definition summary so far is, growing is about abiding or remaining in Christ, and spiritual growth comes from dependence on God. And prayer is a privilege that Christians have of a personal, intimate relationship with the Almighty God. So now we come to the question, how? How do we grow in prayer? There are many ways to grow in prayer, but today I would like to talk about three simple points you can carry forward in 2026. Number one, we must be rooted in Christ. A tree is only as strong as its roots. The deeper and healthier the roots, the more stable the tree becomes. It can withstand heat, rain, storms, and strong winds. But when the root is shallow or weak, even a moderate storm can damage the tree. In the same way, prayer grows from our rootedness in Christ. If our relationship with God is shallow, our prayer life will wither. And those who still have the physical Bible, please open to Psalm 1. I'm going to go through a lot of Psalms today. Psalm 1 begins with this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Blessed is the one whose delight is in following God's word. And I've highlighted this cute little word, delight, because it is easy to be missed when we read. The word delight here means taking deep satisfaction or pleasure or joy in following God's word. A person who delights in the word of the Lord is like this tree that is planted by streams of water. You know, plants and trees that grow near the water are easily sustained and they can flourish because water is the ultimate source of life for a tree. So if you are planting near a stream of water, you will have a regular supply of life itself as a plant. And in the same way, a person who is rooted in God's word as their source of life, a person who meditates on God's word day and night, is spiritually healthy, resilient, and productive. Such a person is shaped by the word of God and not by the voices of the world. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7. When Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the steams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Jesus talks about two builders. One builds his house on the rock, the other builds his house on the sand. And at first, both houses are standing. Both experience the same rain, the same floods, the same winds, but one remains standing and the other falls apart. The difference is not the storms, the difference is the foundation. According to Jesus, if we hear his words and obey or put them into practice, we will remain rooted in him. It is really that simple. Hearing and doing. Hearing what the God's word says and doing what Jesus has told us to do. Now, I'm very sure that some of you are amongst your storms today. Maybe some of you are battling health problems, financial problems, loneliness, heartbreak, or maybe loss. And whatever it is that you are facing, the word of the Lord says the best thing you can do is remain rooted in him. So please hold on to Jesus. Be patient and persistent in your prayer, and you will not fall. God will surely keep his promises and deliver you from your storms. The second point to talk about to grow in prayer is absolute trust in God. What does absolute trust look like? What does it mean when people say to have absolute trust? Absolute trust in God means a complete, unwavering reliance on him for everything. It means believing that God is always present, always good, always in control, even when life seems uncertain or confusing. Sounds easy, right? This is, for me, one of the most difficult things to do in our spiritual growth. Why difficult? Because as humans, we like control. As humans, we don't like uncertain situations. Because when things do not go our way, we prefer control over trust. We rely on our own thinking, our own plans, our own solutions, and we want to fix things quickly. We want answers immediately. We want certainty before obedience. But absolute trust means choosing to rely on God even when we do not know what God is doing. Absolute trust in God means choosing to rely and trust God even when we don't know what God is doing. The Bible repeatedly links prayer with trust. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. And please notice the order in Psalm 37, 5. Commit, trust, and then wait for God to act. Trust is not passive. It is active placing of our lives in the hands of God. When we have absolute trust in God, we become fearless. For those of you with the Bible, please turn to Psalm chapter 3 or Psalm 3. You know, Psalm 3 is written at a time where King David was going through one of the darkest times of his life. David's own son, Absalom, had led a rebellion against him. He won over the people's heart and he declared himself king. So Absalom forced his father David to flee from his own kingdom. So David is on the run, not from a foreign enemy, but from his own child, his own son. David lost his throne, his reputation, his security, his family. He was overwhelmed on every level. He was surrounded by enemies. He's emotionally broken, spiritually attacked by doubt. He's physically exhausted. And one would wonder, what would David pray? Maybe David would go like, God, why me? You know, why I have to go through all of this? Why my only son have to do this to me? But let's see how David actually prays in Psalm 3. In Psalm 3, David says, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and He answers me from His holy mountain. I lie down and sleep, I wake up again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Now that is some prayer. This is the same David who killed Goliath. And even in the most impossible of situations, the darkest of circumstances, David had absolute trust in God. Whatever enemies that surround you, whatever problems that are rising up against you, I encourage you to trust in God like David did. Trust regardless of outcomes. Trust that God is in control, and prayer will grow when our trust in God grows. Now I want to share with you what happened to me this week. Last Sunday as I preached, we had our young adults Christmas celebration after I preached. Then we went for a family dinner event. And then I was like, okay, Monday morning to afternoon, I need to prepare for this sermon. I have 5 days to go. I need to rush. So I cleared my schedule and I had my Monday to morning to my noon emptied out. But what happened is when I woke up, I had this terrible fever. And a fever that was not just a simple fever. My body was shivering. My bones were shivering. Everything was paining. And I was like, what a nice timing. And as I tried to prepare for this sermon, I could not. So I prayed to the Lord and I said, let me just rest on Monday and Tuesday I will start writing the sermon. And I prayed to the Lord, please help me to recover. But as the nighttime came, even though I took many, many Panadols, I could not rest. I'm not sure if you have experienced this pain, but In my fever, whether I was sleeping straight, my body was paining. I moved left, it was paining. Moved right, it was paining. All night, from 9 o'clock to almost midnight, I was just moving around in pain. So I had two options. Option one, wake up my wife in the other room and tell her, let's go to a hospital. Maybe they will admit me and figure out whatever was wrong. But in that case, I would not have enough time to prepare for a sermon. Or option two was to just trust in the Lord. Now call me crazy if you may, I chose option two. At that time, I still remember sitting on my bed. I got on my knees and I prayed to the Lord and I said, God, please heal me. Heal me so that this Sunday morning I can deliver your words. And I trust in your supernatural healing, O Lord. That's all I said. And believe me or not again, but that is my testimony. In 5 minutes or so, my shivering stopped. And in about 30 minutes, although my body was still paining, I could fall asleep. And although I have been struggling with this fever throughout the week, it so happens that I'm okay and I can stand before you and deliver this sermon. All glory to God. And this, my friends, is the power of prayer. This is my sharing because it helped me to remember prayer means we are in a supernatural relationship with the Almighty God. So please put your trust in Him. My last point is also a very simple one. Always pray with deep humility. Prayer is humble when we acknowledge that God knows far better than us what is best for us. Prayer is humble when we acknowledge that God knows far better than us what is best for us. The challenge for many of us is that we believe we know what is best for us. Unless we approach God in prayer with a mindset that He knows what is best for us, it is impossible to truly depend upon Him. Praying in humility means we come before God as weak and poor in spirit. And I'll read out Psalm 131 to talk about David's humility. In Psalm 131, David says, my heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. Haughty means arrogant. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. When David prayed before God, David came with humility. David understood this principle that God resists the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. And in whatever situation David had, he was content. He was satisfied. And this principle is reflected in many other places in the Bible. God's grace will be extended to those who are humble before Him. So one thing that you can add to your daily prayer is every time before you pray, just tell the Lord that, God, I trust that you know what is best for me. Every time you pray, you can add this to your prayer and say, Lord, I come before you knowing that you are in control. Show me what is it you want me to do. That is a prayer of dependence and humility. So as we close in this simple yet strongly rooted message in Christ, I want to recap what we have discussed so you can bring it forward into your new year. Growth in prayer is about depending in Christ, abiding and remaining in Him. It is about being rooted in Jesus. And as Jesus said, it is about listening to the word of the Lord and doing what it says. And prayer is a privilege that we have to be in a relationship with the Almighty God. And many ways you can grow in prayer. I hope and pray you will continue to do these three things. Be rooted in Christ, have absolute trust in God, and pray with deep humility. I hope that you try this and it changes your life. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for all that you have done to us and in our lives and in this church in 2025. Lord, we thank you for the amazing God you are. And Lord, we take our prayer life for granted at times, but we want to thank you this morning that you have given us a way to be in a relationship with you through prayer. So Lord, as we go back into our homes, and as we go back into our lives, may you give us this brokenness to pray unceasingly to you every day. Change our prayer habits, O Lord, so that we don't come to you with prayer as a request, but we come to you with prayer in a relationship. And, O Lord, we ask that you heal those who are unwell in our church. And may you give them the resilient heart to pray. May you give them the resilient spirit to trust in you completely. And, O Lord, we know that in whatever you do, whatever happens, you work for the good of those who love you. So, Father, we thank you as a church. We are truly blessed in so many amazing ways, and we are blessed with so many amazing people that we can call a family in Christ. And I pray for each one of them, those who are here, those who are not here, that as we go into 2026, we all bring glory to your name. And we ask for all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, Amen.